Welcome, everyone, and thank you for coming to this evangelism workshop on how to share the gospel when you're scared. I'm overwhelmed not at the number of people in this room, but at the number of lost people that are represented by the people in this room and the relationships that they have, and the potential that there is if everyone in this room were to go out of here during the summer and actually share Christ with people. And I'm impressed with the fact that there is a personal devil who longs for everyone in this room to be shackled in chains of fear so that we feel completely powerless to share the gospel of Christ with those around us, both our friends and our family. And because I'm aware of that and aware of what we're up against in that sense, I want to ask you to pray with me that God would open our eyes and our hearts and work among us. Father, we ask that you would work. We pray that you would work. We pray that you would do what only you can do in stirring us up. I know, Father, that it is the Holy Spirit who stirs up hearts, and not men, and not words that come from mouths, Lord, but what the Holy Spirit does in heart. Your word, Father, is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And we pray that it would pierce us today. We pray that as we consider the gospel that we hold within us, this treasure that we have in these earthen vessels, we pray that we would be overwhelmed with the excellency of the power that you have. And we pray, Father, that you would overcome our fear. And we pray this for the matchless name of Jesus. Amen. I believe the gospel. And I think that you do too. I think I would be right to assume two things about this group. First, that everyone in here wants to share the gospel, which is why you came here. And secondly, that everyone in this room at some level struggles with fear in sharing the gospel, which again is why you're here. You know, they have Dr. Oberlin over in Levinson Hall, and he's talking about evangelistic Bible studies because he has a lot of experience with that. And they have Dr. Newton speaking in Stratton Hall on apologetics and evangelism because he has a lot of experience with that. And they have me speaking here on fear while you're sharing the gospel because I have a lot of experience with that. All right? And I think you all do too. My purpose today is really simple. I want to help you replace fear with passionate boldness for Christ that compels you to witness wherever God places you and whatever you face in the future for his glory. This topic is about more than the summer of 2018, but I hope that at the very least it will help you in the summer that we're about to experience. And so I have two very simple questions as we consider our topic, how to share the gospel when you're scared. Just two simple questions today, and the first of those is this: what do we fear? What is it that we're talking about when we talk about being afraid of sharing the gospel or scared as we share the gospel? And I want to suggest to you three answers to this question. The first is that we fear rejection. The fear of rejection is an incredibly powerful motivator. So powerful, in fact, that it nearly kept Moses out of ministry forever. He grew up in Pharaoh's household. He knew he had a destiny to fulfill in delivering God's people. And so when he came to age, he saw an Egyptian afflicting an Israelite, and he slew that Egyptian, attempting to champion his people. And he thought, now everybody's going to realize that I'm here to deliver them. And they didn't. And they rejected him. And he fled for 40 long years into the wilderness and tended sheep. And in Exodus 3, God shows up. God shows up to Moses and tells him, go and do this thing for me. And Moses won't do it. For like two chapters, God has to argue with Moses and try to get him past this rejection that he's experienced, where Moses is saying, hey, I'm not really the guy. You know, I mean, yeah, I knew I was all about being the guy before, but I'm really not the guy now. I can't speak. I can't do these things. They won't listen to me. The fear of rejection is a powerful, powerful thing. Isn't it weird that sometimes the hardest people for us to talk to about the gospel are our closest friends and family members? It's true. The more that you are invested in a relationship, the more that you fear to lose it, the worse the prospect of rejection, the loss of that relationship becomes. And yet this can affect us. This fear of rejection can affect us even with strangers that we know we're never going to meet again. It's like the worst thing that could happen to us would be somebody saying that they weren't interested in listening to what we had to say. So that's our first reason that we fear. We fear rejection. But we fear something else. We also fear failure. The fear of rejection is obviously a self-focused fear, and sometimes we feel like the fear of failure is something that's a little bit more legitimate. Because, you know, this actually has an element of reality to it. We really could fail in the way that we share the gospel. We actually could forget something. We actually could misspeak. We could actually not have an answer to a question that somebody asked us. And we could feel like we had failed, or in some cases, we could actually legitimately not have anything to say. So we struggle with this fear of failure. We struggle with a fear of rejection and a fear of failure, but we also struggle with a fear of physical harm. Now, you may not struggle with this a lot, but this has always been a real fear for believers in some locations of the world. It's a fear for believers today. In places like North Korea and Afghanistan and Somalia and Sudan and Pakistan, which those five nations are at the top of the 2018 World Watch List, which tracks persecution globally. And believers in those countries fear this. Are you aware of who Andrew Brunson is? How many of you know who that is? He's a pastor, an American pastor who was a missionary for years in Turkey. And he's been in prison, and he's being held in Turkey now for his faith under charges of Christianization. And he faces physical difficulty because of his stance for the gospel and his stand for Christ. The day comes quicker than we may think that it will actually be a reality in our neighborhoods as well. And I hope that some of you aren't going to be here in the West forever. So even if it weren't to come to the United States, my hope is that in this room there are people who God in his sovereignty would thrust out to the nations and would put you in parts of the world where it's not easy to be a Christian, and where the only thing that you fear isn't just rejection and failure, but there actually is some danger of physical harm. That's my desire, is that God would use us in that way. And so here is our second question today. As we consider people like Andrew Brunson, as we consider our own fear of failure and of rejection, here's the second question. How can we overcome this fear? How can we overcome our fear of sharing the gospel? And I want to suggest to you six ways that we can do that. The first is this: we need to feel the reality of truth. Let me ask you this question. If you were on a walk with the Queen of England, she's a pretty important person, right? If you were on a walk with the Queen of England, her security detail is kind of like, you know, out here on the fringe so that they don't end up in the pictures, but everybody knows they're there. Would you feel comfortable pushing the Queen of England into a bush? You know, you're just walking along. Hey, push her into the bush. Probably not, right? But maybe under certain circumstances. What if you were walking with the Queen, you were showing her around, maybe you're from Arizona, and so you're out west and you're showing her the Grand Canyon, and she's walking there, and you realize that she's about to step on a snake. Maybe it's a rattlesnake. Okay, at that moment, are you comfortable pushing the Queen into the bush to keep her from stepping on the snake? Yeah, because if you don't, people are going to be like, why didn't you push the Queen into the bush to keep her from stepping on the snake? Okay, because there's a reality that has drastically affected the situation. And the things that might have been strange or felt weird to you before no longer do. And that's the way we need to be with our recognition of the realities that lie behind the gospel. It changes the equation when it comes to the way that we interact with people. Sometimes we feel like when we share the gospel with people, we're like hawking wares. We're like out there like trying to have a pitch, you know? But we're not. There's actual realities behind there. If you become aware of certain realities, it changes your perception of everything else in life. John the Baptist was a kind of weird guy. He wore scratchy camel's hair clothes. He ate bugs. He preached a really negative message. Matthew 3, 7 through 8. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And he even took shots at the king, King Herod. It says in Mark 6, 17 to 18, For Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. For John had said unto Herod, It is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. Now the question that I have is, how do you get that kind of boldness? The kind of boldness that you're out standing by the river, preaching to the whole nation to repent, and calling down the king for his sin. What gives you that kind of boldness? Simply stated, John believed the reality of the things that he preached. He believed that the kingdom was really at hand. He believed that Jesus would really judge. He believed that the only hope for people was repentance. He believed he was called by God to prepare the nation for Christ. And the only time you see John waver in his witness is when you see him question the reality of the truths he espouses. Listen to Matthew 11, 2 through 6. It says, Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, that is unto Jesus, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? It's like John has preached, he's been bold, he's encountered difficulty, and now he's beginning to fear. And he's sitting in prison, and he realizes his days are probably numbered, and he sends his disciples to Jesus, and he's like, Are you actually the Messiah? Is this for real? Because if it's not for real, I don't want to give my life for it. And if the gospel isn't for real, you don't want to give your life for it. But if it is for real, you do. And it's worth facing our fears, even of rejection, even of seclusion, even of difficulty and physical harm. Jesus is saying to John in the second half, listen to him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. Okay, Jesus' response, John asks, Are you really the Messiah? Jesus' response is, Just go tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. The blind really receive sight. It actually happens. The lame actually walk. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are actually raised up. And the poor have the gospel preached unto them, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Jesus is saying, Hold on, John. Remember the reality of all this, the healings, the raising of the dead, the preaching to the poor. It's real. And when we feel the reality of truth, it will help us to overcome fear of sharing the gospel. One of the key truths that Jesus left us with when he left was in the giving of the Great Commission. At the end of that passage in Matthew 28, he says to his disciples, I am with you always. And the Greek there literally says, all the days. You wake up in the morning, is Jesus with me today? He's with you all the days. You're there trying to share the gospel or feeling like you don't know that you really have the strength in you to do this. He's with you all the days. Hudson Taylor said, all God's giants were weak men who reckoned on God being with them. And those weak men, they struggle with fear. Listen to Jesus' words to Paul in Acts 18. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, Be not afraid. Paul, afraid? Jesus thought so. Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. You want to overcome fear? You need to feel the reality of truth. We can feel the reality of truth, but we're never going to be able to communicate it unless we really understand it and know it well. And so the second thing that we need to do is we need to learn to breathe the gospel. You don't like doing things that you aren't good at, do you? I mean, do you? Do you like doing things that you're not good at? I don't. I remember last year I got invited to play in a golf tournament, and it was kind of one of those things, you know, it was one of those like, you know, business things, meet people, do that thing. And it honestly would have been a really good thing for me to do from a networking standpoint. I would have met some really good people. It would have been good for ministry here at Bob Jones. But to be honest with you, I said no. And the reason that I said no is because I don't golf. And I knew that if I got out there, I was going to like take some massive divot out of the sod, and you know, everybody was just going to laugh at me, and I hate doing things that I'm not good at. And that's true not just of golf, it's true of our sharing of the gospel. And one of the reasons that we don't share the gospel sometimes is because we don't feel like we really know how to do it. And if that's something that's actually causing fear in our hearts, what's the best way to deal with that fear? It's to learn the gospel. Get to the point where you breathe it. Get so familiar with the gospel. Fall so in love with it that it becomes like breathing for you. There's literally dozens of different courses or programs or curriculums on how to share the gospel. There's curriculums like The Exchange, Evangelism Explosion, Netcasters that teach you how to walk someone through your faith. And there's apps like the Story app, which you can just pull it up on your phone and be like, all right, look at this screen, all right? Now, let me talk to you about this part of the story. Look at this screen. Let me talk to you about this part of the story. I mean, there's so many ways to do this. And if the fear of not knowing what we're doing is what's holding us back, we need to learn to breathe gospel. We actually need to get prepared. We know that verse in 1 Peter 3:15, be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and with fear. Whether you use a curriculum or you just study the word on your own, you need to get prepared to explain what you believe. This is spiritual as well as intellectual. It's not just about sitting there memorizing verses. You just got to do this thing. It's about getting on your knees and begging God to put the gospel deep in your heart and give you understanding in it and the ability when you talk to someone to connect the truth that you know with the things that are in their life, with the sins that they're struggling with the fears that they have. Learn to breathe the gospel and get prepared if you want to overcome your fear of sharing it. The third thing that we need to do is we need to embrace rejection. Do you know that rejection, if you're a believer, is actually part of your identity? This is something that Jesus told his disciples they would experience. Listen to Jesus' words in John 16. He says, they shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. Or John 15, where he said, if you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. Jesus is saying in these passages, wake up, you're going to face rejection. And as Christians, it's actually part of our identity. We read in the New Testament again and again these two words, in Christ. We're in Christ. We're united with Christ. We're part of Christ. We're the body of Christ as the church. And if they persecute the head of the body, they're going to persecute the rest of the body. And so one of the ways that we can actually arm ourselves is by taking out of Satan's hand this weapon of the fear of rejection. And we say, I'm not going to fear that. I'm going to embrace that. We actually take this weapon out of the hand of our enemy. When you do, it will free you not to fear rejection anymore. When you find your identity in Christ, when you find your joy in him, and you recognize that it's a privilege to be able to suffer shame for his name. We need to embrace rejection. We also need to speak out of overflow. My sophomore year of college, Mr. Vowles, the director of the CGO, who now I work for, told us this, and it stuck in my mind like a burr. He said these words, missions is overflow. Missions is overflow. And you don't just have to go overseas for that to be true. Evangelism in the United States, evangelism for you, to your family members, this summer is going to be overflow. You know what the bedrock that gospel proclamation is built upon is? It's a relationship with Jesus. It's a vital, growing experience of Jesus Christ. It's walking in the Spirit on a day-by-day basis and coming to the point where you are so full of the gospel that if people bump you, you just ooze gospel truth. That's the way that we actually share the gospel effectively, and that's what brings us over and beyond and past our fears. Think about Paul's words in 1 Corinthians 9:16. This was true of him. He said, "A great door and effectual is opened unto me, but there are many adversaries." And what you see in that verse is you see Paul reckoning with the fact that there's difficulties, but still seeing an open door. How do you and I view open doors? Like, do we think of an open door as like an opportunity with no impediments? That's not how Paul saw it. Paul saw an open door as an opening with machine gun nests around it and all kinds of enemies that were coming at you from every side. And Paul said, it's an open door. There's many adversaries, but it's an open door. And one of the ways that we're going to be able to overcome our fear of sharing the gospel, even this summer and throughout the rest of our life, is by coming to the point where we see those open doors and we want to take those open doors because we're so full of the gospel that all we can do is to speak of Christ. We need to speak out of overflow. But as we do that, we actually need to expand our view of what God's able to do. And that is our fifth point, that if we're going to overcome fear of sharing the gospel, we need to raise our expectations. You know who William Carey is. He's the father of the modern missions movement. All right? He was one of the first Europeans sent to Asia as a missionary. He went to India at the end of the 18th century. And William Carey said these words. He said, "Expect great things from God and attempt great things for God." And I want to suggest that one of the things that lies at the very root of our fear of sharing the gospel is actually a satanic doubt that God will use us to save people. I mean, who wants to get up and share the gospel if you know from the beginning nobody's going to get saved? I mean, what's the point of that? It's an exercise in futility. And I think that very often we walk through our lives really believing somebody isn't going to get saved today. I mean, it's not like somebody would get saved today. Yeah, I'm going to go talk to this person. I'm going to witness to my aunt. I really feel like I need to talk to my grandpa. But they're not really going to get saved. Let me tell you something. People do get saved. Every single person in here was saved because at some point someone shared the gospel with them. Let me just share with you just a brief story of the way that God works. In 2014... my dad, my father, very tragically took his own life. It happened in September. I was teaching Greek at the time here at Bob Jones University. And actually, I was in a help class, and my aunt called me, and I answered the phone in the help class, and she told me, "Your dad died." And I was just like, whoa, I need to go find somewhere to process this. And in the weeks that followed, things were very, very tumultuous for me and for my family. My parents were divorced. I was the only son of my dad, and so I had a lot of things that I had to think about. And the person that probably was struck in some ways the hardest by my dad's death was my paternal grandfather, Floyd Andrew Maurer. And I remember seeing my grandfather just broken by this. This is a smart guy, a physicist, okay? He studied at Carnegie Mellon. He worked for the federal government at the National Institute of Standards and Technology. He was a scientist. He didn't believe in this religion stuff. And for years, I had wanted to talk to him about Jesus, and little bit by little bit I had, but I'd never really done it very, very earnestly because I didn't really think that God could do anything in his heart. Or maybe I knew that he could, but I didn't really think that he would because I'd shared the gospel and things were just so hard. Well, I started praying that God would use my dad's death and my grandfather's heart. And I talked to a professor here, and he said to me, "Nick, you ought to tell your grandfather every single time you say goodbye to him, I love you and I'm praying for you." And so I started doing that. And I started telling him every single time, and I actually started praying with him every time I was on the phone. I'd say, "Grandpa, do you mind if I pray for you?" And I would actually pray on the phone with him that God would open his eyes and would give him faith to believe the things that I was talking about. He was very kind, and he listened, and he was like, "Nice. Thanks. Have a great night." Click. You know? And this went on. 2014, 2015, 2016. In May of 2017, my grandfather fell and broke his hip. And I flew back to Maryland to try to spend some time with him. And I shared the gospel with him. And I talked to him about the gospel. And again, he rejected it, and he rejected it, and he rejected it. And then I went right before he died in August. And I sat down with him, and I said to him, "Grandpa, do you want to trust Christ? Do you want to ask Jesus to save you?" And he was sitting there, and he goes, "I think I do. Lord, save me." And I was like, "Well, hold on a second, all right? We got to make sure you actually understand this." And I said to him, "Do you think Jesus saved you?" And he said, "Well, I don't know. Do you think he did?" I said, "Well, if you really meant that with all your heart, then I know he really did." And he goes, "Oh, okay." And so then I thought, I'm going to teach him something theological. And I said, "Grandpa, do you know why Jesus saved you?" And he said, "Because I asked him to." And I was like, all right, that's a legitimate answer to that question. And what I saw in that moment was I saw years. I mean, I have prayer notebooks from when I was 6 years old praying for this man's salvation. And last summer, July 31st, 2017, he comes to Christ 6 days before he dies. God is able to save your relatives. He was 93. I mean, like, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. God can save your relatives. He can save your recalcitrant friends. I can't say that word. He can do that. He can actually do things that we struggle to believe he would do. And we need to raise our expectations if we want to overcome fear. We also need to yield to the Spirit. This is really the linchpin issue. Because let me ask you this question. Let me go back here. Who's going to give you the ability to feel the reality of truth? Who's going to help you to learn to breathe the gospel? Who's going to enable you to embrace rejection and not push it away? Who is going to fill you so that you can speak out of overflow? Who is going to give you expectations and kindle them in your heart so that you really believe in what God is able to do? It's going to be the Spirit. And your relationship with the Holy Spirit is the bedrock upon which all gospel proclamation comes. If you take men transformed by the gospel and filled with the Spirit of God and you turn them loose among unbelievers, do you know what happens? The book of Acts happens, and they turn the world upside down. Jesus said, "You shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me." The Holy Spirit is a way, way, way better witness than you and I are. And ultimately, he is the one who gives life. And if we'll come to the place where we recognize that he is the one who's out there changing people, and that by yielding to him and walking with him and allowing his word, the word of Christ, to richly dwell in us, that we actually put ourselves in a position to bear fruit at his leading, that's what's going to give us the ability to overcome the fear of sharing the gospel. What you need, what I need, not what's ideal for us, but what we need is Holy Spirit filling. Because the Holy Spirit is the one who produces boldness. Listen to these words in Acts 4. It says, "Now when the Pharisees or the Sanhedrin saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." That is, they had a relationship with Christ. So they set them free, and Peter and John go back to the disciples and they begin to pray. And this is what they pray. They say, "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak the word." And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. This is what you and I need in order to overcome fear of sharing the gospel. We need the Holy Spirit. So, how are we going to do this? We're going to need to embrace rejection. We're going to need to raise our expectations and really believe that God can do this. We're going to need to prepare to give an answer. We're going to need to feel the reality of truth, speak out of overflow, and yield to the Spirit. I believe the gospel. You believe the gospel. And by the power of God, in dependence on his Spirit, you and I can overcome our fear of sharing the gospel and speak of Jesus even when we're scared. So lift up your eyes. And let's ask God to bless us as we go out into the summer of 2018, and that he would use us in the lives of other people. Dear God, we ask for your blessing. We ask that you would shift our thinking about who we are. We're not just people living in this world. We're disciples of Jesus. We're called to follow him. There's an entire unseen spiritual world that we believe in, that the world around us does not. We pray that those realities would shape us and would change us. We pray that we would breathe the gospel and that it would go deep into our hearts. We pray that we would feel the reality of the truth and embrace the rejection that we face for your name. We pray that we would be so filled that we would speak out of overflow and that we would have high expectations of what you're able to do. We pray that we would yield to your Spirit and that by him you would use us to spread the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, even this summer. We pray that you do these things for your name. We pray for Jesus' sake. Amen.